Good morning, everybody. Oh, nice sort of response. It was sort of rhetorical, but that was excellent. Thank you. As I think you all know, my name's Talia. I'm the minister here, and it's wonderful to see friends return today, particularly Sid and Sheila have been away overseas for a while. It's lovely to have you two back and to have visitors with us this morning and regulars who have swum their way through the weather to get to church this morning. Now, regulars here will have noticed that this is not normally how our seats are arranged on a Sunday morning, and I'd like to assure you that there's a good reason. It's not simply to make things different for the sake of it, but we're starting a brand new series today called Seven Sacred Days. And I think it is true that when we have a time of transition, when things are unfamiliar, that God can sometimes speak to us more loudly and more clearly when we are ready for surprises. And so this morning we are sitting differently in ways that I hope will help us to engage with what I think God would like to teach us here at West. But also, I'd like to invite all of us to be ready to be surprised, to be ready to think differently, and perhaps sitting in a different place will help you to be in that frame of mind. So I'd like to begin with a prayer by an Australian writer called Michael Lunig. You might like to close your eyes as I pray this on behalf of us all. You might like to do whatever helps you to focus on God. God, give us rain when we expect sun. Give us music when we expect trouble. Give us tears when we expect breakfast. Give us dreams when we expect a storm. Give us a stray dog when we expect congratulations. God, play with us. Turn us sideways and around. Amen. If one day I am a mother, I'd like to be like my mum, because she and my dad did an awesome job. If I can just rest this here, thank you. They did a great job of raising me and my sisters, obviously. And I'd want to reflect this morning on something that my mum was particularly good at and still is, and you might relate to this, your parents may have been like this, or your experience may have been different. I don't know if you ever had after-school conversations with one of your parents or both of them. Whenever we got home from school or when mum got home from work, she wanted to know everything that had gone on in our day, you know, and she knew the right questions to ask. How was the maths test? Because she knew it had been on that day. Is Phoebe back at school today? And once I was at the same high school as her that she was teaching at, the question was often, what's this pack of salt and vinegar chips I see charged to my staff account at the cafeteria? And now she's just the same when she phones us. You know, she knows all the different bits and pieces of my life, and she'll ask about them. So she'll ask how the gardening is going. Not that well, except for the silver beet. She'll ask how Matt's trip was to Uruguay. It was great. She'll ask what I'm preaching on this Sunday. Oh, funny, she should ask. My mum cares about everything I do, because my mum loves me. I'm lucky like that. Because she loves me, she's interested in every part of my life, and it's that simple. And it's the same with God. God cares about every part of our life. There is no such thing as our spiritual life or the God compartment of our life. Our God cares for us like a parent cares for a child, interested in everything they get up to, because God loves us. And King David reflected on that famously in Psalm 139. The beginning of Psalm 139 goes like this. You have looked deep into my heart, Lord, and you know all about me. You know when I'm resting or when I am working. And from heaven, you discover my thoughts. You notice everything I do and everywhere I go. And if this is true, if God loves us and cares about everything we do, then it's a very strange truth that human beings have a tendency to split ourselves up into different compartments, with the yellow bits in this corner and the blue bits in this corner. We might have work in one part of our brain and think that it's really separate from our home life. And we might have God over in this corner with church stuff. And we might have sport in one corner and craft and hobbies, but that's really different from shopping, which goes over here. Isn't that weird? But it is how we, I think, quite naturally think in the West. And I blame the Greeks. Because a few thousand years ago, the Greek philosophers, particularly Plato, you may have heard of, developed a new way of thinking that has affected the Western world ever since, for thousands of years. And as the Western world has taken over the rest of the world, all humans currently living are labouring under this kind of influence. They split everything into two piles. In this box, I've got four coloured piles. All the Duplo blocks are in their separate corners, assorted by colours. The Greek philosophers organised everything into life into two piles. The sacred and the secular. So the gods were interested in what went on at the temple and whether you were sacrificing to your household altar in the lounge. But they didn't care about the secular stuff. That was a completely different compartment. And, well, fair enough. Plato can say whatever he likes about Zeus and Hera and Apollo. But that's not my God. My God cares about everything I do, as a parent cares about a child's life. It can be hard for us who have grown up in the West with a natural division between sacred and secular, between the stuff God is supposed to care about and the stuff that's not that important to God. It can be hard for us to rebuild a multicoloured life. But maybe we should try, because maybe life would be better if we were made up of all the different parts of life. And God could be part of our sport and our work and our home life and how we spend our money and who we vote for. And if all of these parts of us were integrated into one person, imagine the impact that God can have on our lives if God gets to be in charge of all of these parts of our lives, if we see them as one whole person. Imagine how our spiritual lives could be reinvigorated and revived, how we could feel much closer to God if we understood that every part of our life is relevant to God. So that's what this series, Seven Sacred Days, is all about. Trying to get God to leak into all of the different activities where we may have been compartmentalizing our lives into different sections. How do we do that if we have grown up in this way? Well, that's what we've got 5 weeks to explore. And the rest of the service, I hope, will help you. But we'll come to a few tips in a little while. For now, some of you, if you have been contacted during the week, will have brought along a symbol with you. Yes, fish in your pockets and your purses now. This is a good time if you've got something with you. So I'm hoping that a good proportion of people will have brought something along today that represents something of who you are and what you get up to during the week. It might be something that represents your home life or your work life or your sporting or leisure life. It could be anything. So I'd like you to, at the tables that you're sitting at, to talk with the people around you, either about what they've brought. There might be two or three people in your group who've brought something. Or if you're at a table where no one's brought anything, that's absolutely fine. You might like to explore what's sitting on your table and see what relevance it might have to what we're talking about today. So take a few minutes to explore. Now I'd like to ask you if you have brought along a symbol of your weekly, daily life, or if you can find one in a pocket or a purse, that's fine, you can make it up now. Then I'd like you to bring it up and display it on the table up here. Tessa, are you your mum's symbol? Are you going to come up here too? Awesome. So if you can bring your symbol up. I have a question for you. When Jesus was working in his dad's carpentry shop, whipping up a set of dining room chairs, did he stop being the Son of God? No, of course not, right? Because Son of God was his identity. It didn't really matter what he happened to be doing at any given Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right? And we are God's children, bought and paid for by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and filled and fueled by God's Holy Spirit wherever we go, whatever we're doing, right? So when we are doing the dishes or doing the accounting at work or at home, or we're cheering on the All Blacks, or we're eating chocolate, or we're shopping for clothes at the mall, God is keenly interested in all of those things we do because of our identity. Right? But I know it can be hard to feel like that's true. I'm one of the lucky people, because if we are influenced by this compartmentalizing of putting sacred things in one half and everything else in the other, my job, the thing I do most of the week, sort of fits in the sacred category, so it's a bit easier for me to see how doing my job during the week is part of God's work in the world. I kind of get it easy. But if we are saying that actually there's no such division at all, then we should be able to do anything in the world, with a few notable exceptions like fighting with your siblings, anything in the world, and know that God is interested in that we are taking part in God's world. But that's hard to do if your job isn't being a minister. I know. I've only been doing it for a little while. And before that, I had all of the same struggles that many of you will have in seeing the relevance of your life following Jesus to the stuff you do most of the week. But I think it's all about how we look at things. So at the moment, I'm over at a table that has magnifying glasses and a cool microscope. Isn't this awesome? And some awesome shades, which I'm going to use in a minute. And later in the service, you will get to visit different tables. You might like to check out the magnifying glass table. I reckon it's all how you look at things. And so I'd like to start by looking at Genesis chapter 1. If you have a Bible with you, you might like to follow along. It's a bit of a famous passage. Genesis 1, verses 26 to 28. Then God said, having made the universe, let us make humans in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves along the earth. We are created to be active in God's world. We are given a role and a responsibility from the very beginning as human beings to be part of the smooth running of this planet. Now, I'm not saying that your worth to God or to yourself or to anybody else depends on how well you do anything. It depends on our identity as God's children. But whenever we are active, whenever we are doing something that contributes to the smooth running of this world, We are fulfilling our destiny. We are taking our responsibility seriously as God's children in charge of this planet. We are part of God's work in this world whenever we do anything that contributes to the smooth running of it. It's all in how you look at it. Imagine you were wearing some special glasses, maybe like these ones. Imagine that these glasses are like 3D glasses. You know when you go to a movie and you wear 3D glasses, maybe you go to Toy Story or Avatar. When you put the glasses on, an entire new dimension of reality is revealed that you couldn't see before. Yeah? How about we imagine that we're wearing glasses that reveal something that wasn't visible before, that reveal how what we do in our lives contributes to God's running of our world. So perhaps if we're wearing these glasses and we look at our diary during the week and all the activities we take part in, we might be able to say to ourselves, when I do the dishes, I am contributing to the smooth running of the world. No one wants a stinky pile of food scraps building up in the kitchen for a month. The dishes need to be done, and I am doing them. I am doing my bit to keep the world running. And imagine if we're wearing our glasses while we do the accounting at a business. We might be able to see, wearing these glasses, that what we are doing contributes to the smooth running of God's world. By doing good accounts, we make sure that people get paid and can feed their families. We make sure that the government has money to run all the essential services through the tax base. We're making sure things are done fairly and transparently. We're making businesses run more efficiently so they can employ more people. We're contributing to the smooth running of the universe. When we are marking kids' schoolwork at school, probably the least glamorous part of teaching, we are contributing to the smooth running of the universe, preparing the next generation to do their bit. It's all in how you look at it and what lenses you're wearing. What are some other lenses that we could look at our daily activity through and see the value to God in what we're doing? Maybe we could use the lens of kindness. Look at everything we do in our lives, buying milk at the dairy, going to school, being at home with children, and see how when we are kind to other people, we are contributing to God's transforming work in this world, changing the world into a better place. That's worthwhile. That's significant and important. What are some other kinds of lenses that we could look at our activity through to reveal its value to God? What do you reckon? Some other ways that we could look at what we do to see its value. Ideas? Yeah. Idea from Tessa? Perhaps we could look at Tessa's activity through the lens of growing and developing, how that's part of God's work, that we would grow and learn. So she's doing God's work right now as she explores the world around her and develops motor skills. What about looking at our daily activity through the lens of integrity and honesty and see that how we do even the most mundane things in an honest and authentic way contributes to the good running of this world and does God's work? This is just a taster. These are just some examples, and they may or may not have related to some of the areas of your life that you struggle to see God's value, the value that God might place on them. But this is just a taster. This is what we're doing through the rest of this series, and next week is going to be a service not to be missed. We have a special guest you may have seen in your newsletter. It's Community Constable Dave Christofferson. He's the Marfell Community Cop, just down the road from us. He's been really valuable in helping us work on our proposal to employ a family mentor at the school across the road. He goes to North Point. He's a Christian. And he has done a lot of thinking over a lot of years about how our working life has significance to our life with God. If you or someone you love has sometimes struggled to see the relevance of your life following Jesus to the things that you do during the week, particularly your working activities, then next week's service is one not to be missed. The following weeks we'll do a few other things which I'll introduce in a minute. I've visited two tables, and in a minute you'll get a chance to visit these two tables as well, and there are a few resources that are on them that you might like to take away with you. But there are different things at every table. And these different tables are all about the things that we're going to be doing over the coming weeks. So next week it's Constable Dave Christofferson. He'll be talking about work and God. But a week a little bit later than that, we're going to be talking about our home life and how what we do at home and our relationships at home can be part of our roles as God's children. On this table, there are resources that will be good for mums and for dads and for people at home and for people who do housework, which is probably many of you. So you might like to visit this table if you spend any time at home. Oh, that's probably everybody. There are two of these tables. Who else has a home life table that has, you know, dishwashing liquid and stuff? Over that way, I think. Yeah, so there's one over there. So these two are duplicates. There are resources on each of these tables. Some are for things to do now, if you want to. Some prayers to pray, some readings to have a look at in your Bible, or perhaps an activity to do. Some of them are things to slip in your pocket and have with you during the week. They might be prayer or Bible reading activities that can help you engage with this area of life on, you know, a Wednesday night when you're at home. Some of them say, for your pocket or your purse. Or I think some say for your pencil case, for the kids' ones. Now these are things to keep with you during the week and to perhaps have a look at a couple of times every day. They have questions on them that might help you to recognise God's involvement in your everyday activity. So in a moment you're going to get a chance to visit these different tables. We have the home life ones here and here. Over here we have one that's all about school, because we're going to spend one whole Sunday thinking about how you can follow Jesus when you spend 14,000 hours of your life at school. And that's just when you're a pupil. More if you go into teaching. So here on the school tables, and there's another one, who's at the school table? David and Cameron, or you're having a good time with it already. You're at the school table as well. So if you are a person who goes to school, or you are here with a person who goes to school, so this will be good for parents as well, have a look at what's here. There are some activities and there are some things to take away to do perhaps as a family at home. There are some resources for parents about how to help your kids engage with things. Now, we're going to have a whole Sunday working on this in a few weeks' time, but it could be really helpful to have a look at some of these things before you get there, especially if school is a big part of your life, like it is for you guys. In fact, almost everybody at this table. And we have another table over here with plants beautifully supplied by Jocelyn. Now, Jocelyn, actually, perhaps you could tell us what these four different plants represent.
Well, this is childhood. It's a parsley plant. That is teenage, like it's some bulbs growing and just starting to send up some flowers. This is the adults that have already got the flowers, and this one is dead.
Let's put it a little more starkly than I was going to. That this table is all about different seasons in life, and we're going to spend a whole Sunday looking at ageing through all different stages of life, but particularly looking at retirement and beyond, and looking at how retirement life affects people who are in that phase and also their loved ones who are seeing perhaps their parents age. And we're going to look at the challenges and the joys that come with different stages of life. So this table has our four plants at different stages, different seasons of life, and a few prayers and activities that you might like to have a look at. We're going to be spending a whole Sunday on these issues. And at this table we have communion. In a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to do a few different things. And one is to take communion. Come to that in a minute. Then once you have taken communion, I invite you to visit the map where it says 7-day faith. It has a map of New Plymouth and the surrounding area. And the pins that you see there represent every person at West. And there are different colour pins for the different things you do and the places you go during the week. If you haven't put some pins in this map yet, if you weren't around one Sunday when we did that, then I invite you to go and have a look and to put some pins in to represent where you spend your week. Because we get together, we gather together on a Sunday morning and we're all in one place. But then we spend most of our weeks scattered around the region. And this helps us see our presence in New Plymouth, even when we're not together. So I invite you to put some pins on the map if you haven't already. And if you have done some, you might like to have a look at where everybody else spends their time. I think it's quite fascinating seeing some that are in the middle of the sea also. So in a moment, we're going to have some classical music playing, and this is a signal that this is a time for contemplation, not for conversation. There's plenty of time for conversation at morning tea and lunch, but we're going to take 10 or 15 minutes for each of us to spend time engaging with God by ourselves, or if we have children, with our family members. You get to do three things. Come and take communion, visit the map and put some pins in it, and then go to any table that draws your interest. You may go to more than one table. Spend some time there. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, to show you something new. Have a look at an orange piece of paper that might help you to reflect on 7 sacred days. Every single piece of paper that is around the place, there's one copy of it on this lower table. So if you don't know where to start, you may want to go over to the lower table and see what takes your fancy and then guess which table it's at that you can take one home from. Now we're going to share in a symbolic meal together. We call it communion or the Lord's Supper. It reminds us of what Jesus did in our world for us, of our common identity as a community sharing one bread, one cup. It reminds us of our identity as part of Jesus' team in this world, the work that we are here to do 7 days a week. I'd like to give you two readings to reflect on before we share together. And then do feel free to, in your own time, come and take communion, visit the map, visit any table that takes your fancy. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth these words. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Samuel Wells wrote this about the role of communion in the life of God's people. By sharing bread with one another around the Lord's table, Christians learn to live in peace with those with whom they share other tables, breakfast, shop floor, office, checkout. They develop the skills of distribution of the poor sharing their bread with the rich, and the rich with the poor. They develop the skills of equality, of the valued place of the differently abled, differently gendered and oriented people, those of assorted races and classes and medical, criminal and social histories. They develop the practices of giving and receiving, of handing over the first fruits of labour and receiving back the first fruits of the resurrection. They develop the skills of participating in the life of heaven and realising their simple actions anticipate God's eternal destiny. They practice the virtues of justice, generosity and hope. They learn the notions of regular dependence on God's abiding providence, of the coming kingdom, of sacrifice and of holiness. As we seek to integrate our lives together, all the different parts, and to recognise the unity that we share, we're now going to eat and drink this symbolic meal in your own time. And you may like to ask God, as the bread and the juice is incorporated into your own body, to incorporate all the things that you do during the week into your life with God. We'll have some quiet music playing. Take your time. Spend your time wherever in the room is most helpful to you, and come and share communion when you are ready.